Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Luke chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, titled, The Least in the Kingdom of God. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Luke chapter 7, verses 24 through 28, titled, The Least in the Kingdom of God. This is part one.
So that's a great praise report. Thank you very much, and the Lord is pleased with our desire to get the word out. Amen?
Amen.
Our current events update. Now, you might have seen on the news that a representative named John Lewis had died. And it is my duty as your pastor to tell you he was not Mr. Wonderful. And that tells you what your news media is all about, but it also tells you what a lot of rhino Republicans are all about. And they're ripping President Trump because, as far as I know, he hasn't actually said anything publicly. He did, as decorum would require, lower the flags. They do that, and that's there's nothing wrong with that. But it's another thing to lie to people and talk about this guy like he's Mr. Wonderful. I am telling you for a fact that if this man believed what he said he believed, he split hell wide open Friday night. This man did not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we're concerned with when it comes to whether or not the man is in heaven. And then we also know that that's what the man looked like. His policies that he pushed in his lifetime. He pushed for the killing of unborn children right up to the time of birth.
Wow.
He defended abortion on any circumstance. He pushed the sodomite agenda and pushed for everything you see going on with the homos. He was behind it. He wanted to take your guns so that you couldn't protect yourself. He was a gun control advocate. He supported the BDS movement, which is anti-Israel. He used Jews early on in his campaign, his career, to make something of himself, but then
boycott, divest, sanction.
Yeah, BDS is a movement to boycott Israel, and he used, like I said, he used Jews and feigned support for Israel for a number of years in his early career, but then he turned on them, and for about the last 20 years, has been an enemy of Israel.
Wow.
He supported illegal immigration. We support immigration. The government has a right to bring in people to replace all the babies being butchered.
Uh-huh.
But the government should set standards so that when they come to this country, they don't immediately get on welfare.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And so we have a position on immigration that is biblical and constitutional.
Amen.
And the Constitution is in support of immigration if it's controlled, as I just said. But he supported leaving illegals in this country. I call him a poverty pimp. He did everything he could to keep his constituents on the dole so they would vote for him. He used his power in government to keep people voting for him with all the welfare and all that he gave out. Again, we support welfare for people who need it.
Amen.
But people who can work but won't work, the Bible says they do not eat.
Amen.
No food stamps.
Amen.
And that's a biblical, not a political position. So he was basically a socialist liberal. He was an enemy of the Constitution and an enemy of the Christian faith, the real Christian faith. These guys all have their own churches. But you go in there, they don't preach the Bible and they don't preach the gospel. They preach their socialist liberal agenda. Now, that's the wrong reference. is Proverbs. What was the text, Jenny? We talked about it yesterday.
For what?
The text says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." You get that?
Amen.
The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot.
Proverbs 10:7.
So moving on, I now want to do my pastoral duty and warn you of what I believe is probably going to happen, and that's the corona recession. Behind the scenes, large banks are prepping for bad times ahead. Banks are putting aside tens of billions of dollars to cover the losses that they think they're going to face when people can't pay their bills, can't pay for their loans, can't pay for their house mortgages. And people who own your rental properties, if you can't pay them, they can't pay the bank. And so as people are evicted because they don't pay their bills, that leaves all these empty places you're seeing around here, the storefronts that are empty, all the for lease signs. That means the owner can't pay his bill. This was one of the headlines in U.S. News. Big U.S. banks predict more economic pain from coronavirus. The story, which this was just a couple of days ago, three of the largest U.S. banks said on Tuesday they had set aside a whopping $28 billion for loan losses, in a stark reminder that much of the economic pain from the coronavirus pandemic is still to come. Now remember that when your stupid governor and these people continue to shut everything down. It looks to me like design.
Amen.
It looks like our leaders are given over to the Antichrist and they're crashing our system so that America will have to go along with the new world order.
Amen.
Borrowers have been propped up by trillions of dollars in government and bank assistance, cheap credit and loan forbearance programs. But some of that support is going away, and banks said they fear losses will spike. Now, I don't have time to go into our fake money system. But I'm just telling you, it's illegal for you to do this, but if you just set your printer up and start printing money, that's counterfeit. The reality is, all money is counterfeit.
Amen.
Our Federal Reserve system, that's all they do. They just print paper. They don't have anything to back that up.
Amen.
It used to be the paper money represented what was in the bank in gold and silver.
Right.
No, hadn't been that way since Nixon. And it's just fiat money. That's the word for it. There's a Christian man named William Still. And he put out a documentary called Money Masters. And he also put out one on the something about Oz, because it's believed that the Wizard of Oz was a play or a book written to represent this whole thing about our money system. But you go out and watch those documentaries, you'll start to understand more about what's going on.
Yeah, amen.
And it's all setting the stage for the Antichrist. It's an economic crash. It's only a matter of when. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, you know,
amen.
You know that there's a coin shortage now.
Yeah.
Have any of you seen that? Coin shortage. And they, you know, they're. I was telling Jenny the reasons they were giving why they said that was going on, but that's it's just crazy. There's no way. Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, I took over $500 in rolling change to the bank, and they were so glad to see it. They were ready to kill me for it.
It was probably sent somewhere and put locked away.
Yeah.
Shortage. Yeah, Sean?
Well, with the coin shortage, what's your thought on gold or silver coins?
Well, I always tell everybody, if gold is gold. I personally don't recommend getting paper. So if you invest in gold coins or silver coins, that's fine. You can put it in there.
A thousand.
All right. So a coin, gold coin is a gold coin. But if you put the money in, and they send you a piece of paper, I would be very wary of that.
No, I'm talking about having the metal.
No, actually, I just want everybody else to understand that. I know you do.
Yeah.
And so it would be wise, to have that, and that's why I say guns and ammo. You may never have to shoot at anybody, and we pray we don't ever have to, but I want to tell you, they'll barter. If things crash, it'd be amazing what you'll get for your gun if you have extras and ammo. That's just one of the reasons to have that. Now, there, of course, in non-perishable food, get something like a Berkey water system. If Jenny and I, if our the electric grid goes out, you know, we can't, our well pump won't work. And if the electric grid goes out, you're probably not going to have much gasoline to run a generator for very long.
Yeah.
So what do? You have to have things like the Berkey system. You pour water in, it comes out purified.
Yeah.
So what we would do is take our little empty water jugs down to, we could go anywhere, dirtiest water around here, and you put it in that Berkey thing, and it'll filter it, and it'll be drinkable. And so that's what you want to make sure you have, that kind of water. And if you have the ability, we haven't done it, I admit, we should have already. You can get a big barrel and have water to use for cooking and other things, washing. You know, if your electric grid goes out, you're going to have to worry, but you're going to have to start doing sponge baths. And things are going to change, folks, if this happens. If this keeps going on the way it's going, things are going to really get strange and rough. You know, my kids, I've told them over the years, I'm not really joking when I tell them, we've got plenty of room in the back for tents, if it came down to it. And they got this thing, this guy came up with this thing where you pull your car up, pop the, especially if it's a hatchback, you can pop the back end, and the tent then connects to your car. So your car and your tent become one big place, you know. And it's not exactly high living, but... I'm looking into this stuff, man. I already know how much it would cost us, and how, and within a week and a half, we could have church in a tent,
yeah,
if need be. We made all these plans. I hope I never have to implement them, but I'm ready. That's all I'm telling you to do. Get ready. We've been warned of this by the fact of the coming mark of the beast. If you believe we're in the last days, then you know it's getting ready to bust out. And he causeth all, it says, including Americans who don't think they should ever suffer persecution or it's the Great Tribulation. And he says he causeth all. Well, after the rapture, I believe the rapture is going to happen at any moment. Amen. And that'll help to catapult the world into this Antichrist world order. But I believe everything else is going to be set up and ready. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, everybody, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And as your pastor, as your Christian brother, I just want you to see these things going on and understand where you're at.
Amen.
And make plans. Plan. You know, I like this song. It says, pray like it's all up to Him, and then work like it's all up to you.
Yeah.
That's how I see the Apostle Paul doing it. You know, Paul believed in prayer, and he prayed like it was all up to God, but look how hard he spent himself for the Lord. We've also been warned over the years by Christian authors. I don't know how many of you remember this, Larry Burkett.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, I read this book. The only thing Larry Burkett, number one, he always said, I'm not a prophet. But he was just saying, this is how it's going to go down. The only thing Larry Burkett got wrong was the timing. I say that about these guys in the rapture. They're not wrong about the rapture. They just got the timing wrong.
Amen.
And God says, by the way, you're not going to know the timing. So quit trying.
Right.
And that's my policy on this whole economic thing. All I can tell you is it don't look good and it could happen. Is there going to be an economic earthquake? Only God knows that. I thought that it happened in the 90s. How many of you thought Clinton was the end, man?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he potentially could have been, but I think that God had mercy. Long-suffering. And the final thing about the corona thing is also this thing of dead with corona.
Yeah.
If you guys are ignoring me and getting your news from the Democrat news media, then shame on you for being stupid. But if you're doing that, you're being scared to death.
Yeah.
by how many people are dying. The deaths are going through the... And it's hogwash.
Yep.
You may recall this video clip I played for you.
Other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we're counting that.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You can die of a heart attack, but if you have COVID, they count you as a COVID death. They're not dying of COVID. They're dying with COVID. And that's not science. That's propaganda. It's government deceivers and your Democrat news media who are continuing the farce. Let me say, I want to make this clear. Coronavirus is real. And I get criticized because I won't go check out and say it's fake. Because it's real. And we know of people who died, and they died from the effects of coronavirus. It's happening. But the point is that it's no worse than the annual flu right now.
Yeah.
And most of the deaths were caused by government policies. Cuomo sent people into nursing homes with COVID. That's why I say it should be called the euthanasia virus. Because it's killing off people over 60 and people with underlying circumstances, underlying conditions. So when you see this, U.S. COVID-19 death toll, it's inflated. It's inflated.
Yep.
The CDC currently puts the number of confirmed deaths at about 100,000. But even the best estimate, 0.26% fatality rate, is a significant overestimate. So it's not even a quarter of a percent of the population, and that's an overestimate. Why? Because of how the CDC is counting deaths.
It's 0.26%.
Yeah, 0.26. So it's not even, that's one quarter of 1%.
Yeah, 0%, you got to move it over to the decimal.
I just want to make sure. I know some of you were public schooled and No, seriously, though, I'm not good at percentages either, and that's why I have to look and think about it. You take $100, and I give you one, that's 1%. If I have $100, and I give you a quarter,
that's how much it is.
That's how much this is. I mean, that tells you how little of the population of America is dying from this.
And that's of the people that they...
This was the death rate. This is the death rate.
But
the point is, it's overestimated. You realize how small? It's overestimated because of how they're counting it. This doctor, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, is director of Illinois Department of Public Health, and he explains, quote, "It means at the time of death, it was a COVID-positive diagnosis." That's all it means. It means that, you know, you could have died, you could have had an aneurysm and bled out, but if you tested positive with COVID, they counted you as a COVID death. That means that if you were in hospice and had already been given a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It's a scam. It means technically, even if you died of a clear alternative cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death.
Shark attack.
What? Shark attack? Well, in light of these facts, I just had to let you know a big breakthrough in theological circles. Bible experts have determined that Goliath actually died of COVID. Yeah. I mean, his head came off, but they found a trace of COVID, so.
Wow.
You just think about. I mean, I hope you're getting it. The joke is that people are dying from decapitations and being, you know, oh, he died of COVID. Really? Why did his head come off? All right. Just get used to that. I'm going to do that all the time. Because I'm waking you up. Yeah, that's right. All right. Luke 7, we pick up verse 24. The least in the kingdom of God. We're going to go through verse 28 in this study. And we're going to have you read all those verses. All five of them. Beginning of verse 24, if you're there, read with me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's a reminder that you have already gotten more Bible at this point than you would in most Christian churches today. That's an absolute fact. I get these emails every once in a while from somebody, and it's so sad. We're glad to be able to teach and put it out there for them to learn, but they're starving to death in their own home church.
Yep.
And so we're glad to be able to help folks out. In our text, we're still in Nain.
Nain.
And that's not no in German. That's a city just south of Nazareth. Nazareth was the boyhood home of Jesus. And that's why they called him Jesus of Nazareth. And on the map, it's at the bottom of the map there, if you can see that. And our context is that Jesus has demonstrated his messianic ministry. John's disciples, you remember, came and said, Hey man, what's going on? And so he showed them what was going on. And he has interacted with the disciples of John the Baptist, and that's how we closed down the last study, where Jesus said, basically, you know, the prophets said when the Messiah came, this is what's going to happen, and that's what's happening. So go tell John that's what's happening. Amen?
Amen.
So we pick up verse 24, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. So Jesus is taking what's going on with John's disciples, and he's not saying, you know, he didn't look at everybody and say, I don't know what's wrong with John the Baptist. You know, just ignore what just happened. You know, he just says this is a teachable moment. So I'm going to say something. And so Jesus will now confirm John's ministry. And he goes on to say, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In other words, God's men are not timid, doubting, wavering scribes. And what Jesus points to isn't that John in prison is having his doubts. He's saying, you remember John's ministry. And you remember what he said and what he did. Isn't that what you went out to see? And John the Baptist preached God's word.
Amen.
And he offended people. Why? Because people don't want to hear the word of God. And John didn't care. He just kept preaching the word of God. It will end up getting his head cut off.
Amen. That's right.
But he preached knowing it was going to get him killed. And by the way, those of you who think Greg shouldn't be preaching politics, I don't preach politics, but politics is getting on my territory. And when it gets on my territory, I'm going to preach the word. And if it costs me my head, so be it. Just make it a clean cut. Don't be chopping away for 5 minutes. That happened. If you read some history, you'll see that happen. Didn't that happen to Anne Boleyn? I think it was one of them. Anyway, I get criticized because I preach strong, and I'm not up here saying, well, you know, we think that possibly this is, but you know, you have to make your own judgments, and you know, we're not going to take a strong stand on anything that's going to cause division because we want to just get along with everybody. And, you know, I want to be cool. I don't want to act like I'm cool so everybody thinks I'm cool. And you know, I think we need to change the setup here and put some spotlights and some fog so that we can all just feel like we're in a rock concert instead of church. That way you feel more comfortable. And you know, instead of pews, let's get lounges and put some lazy boys out there so you can recline. You know,
that's what's going on today.
Everybody's got to be cool. And they're not worried about, sadly, what thus saith the Lord. Look over to Matthew chapter 7. Turn your Bible there a few pages over. Matthew chapter 7. This is what Jesus is going to be described here. And this is what a Bible-believing preacher is supposed to be described as. Matthew 7. Verses 28 and 29. And I'm going to read 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now read 29 with me. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Preachers that stand up here and say, well, the original Greek and the original Hebrew and blah, 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 they're scribes.
Amen.
I'm not going to stand up here and pretend, and they're pretenders. They don't know Greek or Hebrew. They got it all out of other books, and then they come up with their notes and pretend it. I'm not going to do that. I want to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Simply teaching the Word of God simply.
Amen.
That's what we need. And that's how Jesus taught. Now, sometimes what he taught was hard to accept. But John, as a human being, he's a prophet, but he was still human. It's like we talk about Paul, and we tell people all the time, Paul was not infallible. Peter was not infallible.
Amen.
The writings you have from Paul in the Bible and the writings you have from Peter in the Bible are infallible. But the men weren't. They were human beings.
Yeah.
And John was a human being. And he needed reassurance. But listen, John never wavered in service.
Amen.
God is not afraid of your questions, but he will not put up with you your faithlessness. He will not put up with you compromising. He doesn't mind questions. And if you pray and ask him and follow his word, which says that you go to the elders with your questions, you'll find answers.
Amen.
There's only two kinds of people who have left Bible Believers Fellowship, and it didn't have anything to do with moving or dying. People who still live in the area, who still should be here, who don't come here, is because they got sucked into stupidity because they refused to obey the Word of God and come to the elders and discuss those things with them. And number two, even when I did try to talk to them, they didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true about every one of them.
Amen.
Well, there were a couple of exceptions that were other, but the exception proves the rule. So, again, look at verse 25. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? God's men don't play dress up. Or at least they shouldn't.
Amen.
One of the most embarrassing things about fundamental Christianity is how that the pastors, most of them, dress like they're in the mob.
That's true.
And think that that gives them some air of authority.
Yeah.
And then they also force.